But oh, I want my young friends to realize, because sometimes that they believe that Jesus is irrelevant to teenagers, that Jesus is a Jesus for your own folks, that he by now he got gray hairs and is irrelevant. But I want you to know this Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is relevant for every generation. He knows your deal because he cares for you.
We greet our listeners tuned in this New Year's Eve. We appreciate your spending the next half hour with us, and we trust that our broadcast will prove to be a blessing to you. We would like to take this opportunity to wish you the very best of God's blessing in the year ahead, even as we remember his faithfulness in the year that is quickly passing. We who know Christ as Savior and Lord can enter the new year with all its new and unexpected challenges, in the confidence that his love and his faithfulness are everlasting. Jesus is more than just the reason for the season. Jesus never fails. He will carry us through whatever befalls. Now, with the message this evening, Pastor Brian Grant will begin a new series entitled The Seven Signs of Christ. This series is focused on the seven specific signs of Christ, the Messiah, listed in the Gospel of John. So we invite you to tune in each week as Pastor Grant takes us through this series. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A woman received a call that her daughter was sick with a very high fever. And so she rushed to the pharmacy for some medication. But when she returned to her car, she discovered that she had locked the keys in her car. She found herself an old rusty hanger, but somehow she couldn't quite figure how to use the hanger to open the door. And so she bowed her head and she prayed that God would send her some help. Within 5 minutes, a motorcycle pulled in into the parking spot next to her, and a dirty-looking man, he jumped off of the bike and asked her for help. Well, since she had prayed for God's help, she wasn't quite expecting this type of help. He looked a little to be on the rough side, but then she said, "God, probably you did send this guy," and she really needed the help, so he said, "Go ahead." He walked over to her car, into her car, and in less than a minute, the car was open. Man, she was so overjoyed. She hugged the man, and she said to him, "Thank you, thank you. You are such a nice man." The man said, "Not really. I'm not really so nice. I just got out of jail." He said, "I just got out of jail for car theft." She hugged the man again, and she prayed, "Thank you, God, you even sent me a professional." That's fictional. But isn't it wonderful that we can experience the power of God in our day-to-day lives? You know, in our class on Tuesday, one of the young men was saying every time he goes into Central City, he prays and asks God for help to find a parking spot. I tell you, my mom used to pray about any and everything. She prayed to find her keys. Listen, we can experience the power of God in our everyday lives. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to begin a new series today. I want to bring you seven messages, which I'm entitling The Seven Signs of Christ. And these seven messages will be based on the seven miracles of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of John. Now, John's Gospel was written years after the other Gospels, and many of you might not realize this, but John's Gospel is totally different from the other Gospels. Whereas the other Gospels record over 30 miracles of Jesus, John's Gospel only records, guess how many? Seven. Thank you, class. Oh, you see, my John class is over here. I'm teaching John's Gospel, and I have a whole lot of them over on this side. And that's one of the things that we have been emphasizing. The others give 30. John gives seven. And John doesn't call them miracles, he calls them signs. Next time I speak, I'll share with you some of the differences between John's gospel and the other gospels, and what is the purpose of John's gospel. It's very unique. The gospel of John is unique, and it's different, and it's for a special purpose, and every believer ought to get that, and we'll cover that the next time. But today I want to begin this series at an unusual place. You're saying, if you're going to do a series, why not start with miracle one? Well, I'm going to start with miracle four, if you don't mind. Why am I starting with miracle four? Because miracle four is a very unusual miracle. Miracle number four in the Gospel of John is the only miracle that is recorded by every single gospel writer. Did you realize that? The only miracle that is recorded in all four gospels is the one we read about this morning, the feeding of the 5,000. So hold your Bibles there with me in John's Gospel chapter 6. Keep your fingers there. We'll be looking at one or two other passages of scripture, but make sure you have a big finger right there in John's Gospel chapter 6, because that's where I'm coming from as we consider the theme, experiencing the power of God. But just to get rolling, it's important that we look at two key facts about Jesus from this story. Number one fact about Jesus that I want to make sure we grasp, number one fact about Jesus is that Jesus cares for us more deeply than we realize. I want us to get a little more detail on the story, because as I said, this story is in every single gospel, and if you only read the Gospel of John, you miss some of what's going on. So if you won't mind, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel chapter 14. And remember, you're going to hold your big finger in chapter 6 of John's Gospel. Amen? But what does Matthew's Gospel tell us here in Matthew chapter 14 verse 10? And I could have read the whole passage chapter here to help you with the context. Suffice it to say, verse number 10, I'll pick up after reading. So he sent and had John. That's Herod the king. King Herod sent and had John. Which John you think we're talking about here? This is not John the gospel writer in which we just read. This is John the Baptist. You see, the writer of John's gospel is not John the Baptist, as some people think, the apostle John. But here we have John the Baptist. He was beheaded in prison by King Herod. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl. And she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and burned it. And they went and told Jesus. His disciples came, took away the body of John the Baptist, buried it, and went and told Jesus. John the Baptist, his head was cut off. When you can read the rest of the story there in chapter 14 to find out why. But here in verse 13, when Jesus heard that John the Baptist's head was chopped off, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. Why do you think he did that? Who was John the Baptist? He was the forerunner of Christ. Talk to me, but hey, come on now. There is something more important. Who was he to Jesus? He was Jesus' cousin. Let's not miss this as we go through the passage here. The father of Jesus was God. Now let's be honest. You know, I don't have time to dig into this, but suffice it to say, some of us have the wrong idea when we talk about God the Father being the father of Jesus. Because listen, Jesus has no real father, because Jesus always was. Amen? We're talking about the incarnated Christ. Okay, the Mary is his mother, and Mary's cousin is Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist. Jesus, therefore, get the story. Jesus is grieving. Oh, have you ever had a drama in your family? Some of us who have been in the church long enough, we remember when one of our deacons and his wife were killed, murdered brutally. We remember that. Members of our family. So listen, we understand what it feels like to have someone that you love so dearly cut off. Some of you experience it. And here Jesus is experiencing it. His cousin. And they were close cousins, Jesus' cousin. His head has been chopped off. And so here we read that Jesus decided to be by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And then you go on and you find the rest of the story about the feeding of the 5,000. This is the context. You're saying, why in the world am I bringing this up? Because I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss this. Jesus was experiencing heartache and pain just like you and I have experienced. But even in the midst of his pain, he was always focused on our pain. Are you getting that? In the midst of his pain, he focused on the pain of the people. The Bible said he was moved with compassion. He just wanted a little time out to be by himself. But they followed him. And when he saw them, the Bible said he was filled with compassion. Jesus cares more deeply about your pain than his own pain. And because Jesus experienced pain like you have experienced, I want you to realize he can empathize with your pain. Oh, there are people here this morning, you have experienced pain. Some of you are still dealing with your pain. And I want to introduce you this morning to the empathizing Jesus. He feels your pain. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16 tells us that he not only empathizes. Let's read it together, if you don't mind. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Listen, pause 1 second. Listen. When the winds blow you, when drama hits your ship, hold to what you believe. Sometimes the devil wants you to forget what you believe and make you ask the question, does Jesus care? Hold to what you believe. Jesus cares.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Let's read on. This high priest of ours understands our weakness. For what? He faced all of the same testings we do. Yet, he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Aren't you thankful that there is grace? Amen. Aren't you glad that there is a throne of grace? Aren't you glad that there is a place where we can find what? Help. Oh, you need any help? Oh, you're battered this morning. You're still dealing with that drama. Our gracious God invites you to come boldly. Come to him. Come to him. He understands. He can empathize. You see, there's a difference between empathizing and sympathizing. Sympathizes is when I feel sorry for you. When I empathize, I am in your shoe. I sit where you sit. I feel what you feel. And Jesus is not just a sympathizer. He's an empathizer. He sits where you sit. He feels your pain. And the word of God says, listen, he not only feels your pain, he can deal with your drama. He can help you. You can find help. So I don't know what you're experiencing, but God wants you to let us know today he cares deeply. Point number one, Jesus cares for us more deeply than we realize. But secondly, Jesus is the bread of life. Oh, all this is going to come back as we go through what we have to talk about this morning. Jesus is the bread of life. And so having done that miracle in John's Gospel chapter 6 verse 35, we didn't read all that distance, but in John 6 35, he says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This is the most powerful lesson that God wants us to learn from this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. The big lesson of the feeding of the 5,000 is that Jesus is the bread of life. In the miracle of the 5,000, he multiplied bread so that everyone's appetite was satisfied. But he has bigger plans. Jesus has bigger plans than putting a chicken in every pot and bread on every table. Amen? Jesus was telling us he's able to satisfy the deepest needs of our heart, that he can fill the emptiness in your heart. And it's possible that there's somebody here this morning, and as you're here in the church, in the sanctuary of God, you might feel an emptiness in your soul. You might recognize that there is something missing. I am here to tell you that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the source of true satisfaction. Jesus is able to satisfy our spiritual hunger and quench our spiritual thirst forever. Amen. Jesus is able to satisfy our spiritual hunger and quench our spiritual thirst forever. Have you found him that to be real? Oh, I wonder if there's anybody in the room who can testify that Jesus saves, he keeps, and he's satisfied. Are you with me this morning? He is the bread of life. He's the source of true satisfaction, and only he can satisfy the heart's deepest longing. Only Jesus, listen good, only Jesus can meet your spiritual need. Two facts about Jesus. Jesus cares for us more deeply than we realize, and Jesus is the bread of life, the source of satisfaction. But I want to share with you, as we look at the miracle a little more closely, three ways to experience God's power. The first thing I want to say to you this morning is that we can experience God's power by pursuing him. We can experience God's power by pursuing him. The crowd was massive. Matthew tells us there were 5,000 men, not including women and children. So many estimate that there may have been over 15,000 people there. By the way, it was so funny. Let me go on an aside. You know, sometimes we wonder, how in the world could Jesus speak to all these people? You know, it's amazing the technology and the skills they had back then. When we were in Israel a few weeks ago, we went to Beth Shean. And Beth Shean is one of the ruins that they have uncovered. They uncovered this place. And lo and behold, when they dug up, they found this big theater, big forum. And the forum seated over 7,000 people. And it was still in pretty good shape. Now, you all know that my wife's voice is very soft. Sometimes we have difficulty even when she's amplified here. My wife sang in that theater to seven that could hold 7,000. I was sitting at the top in the nosebleed section. We could hear every word she was singing. You hear what I'm saying? She sang, and Robin Angoy, you all didn't know he was a singer. Robin and there was, I think it was Carol, but anyhow, it was Pat Richards. Okay, yes, it was Pat, you are the one. But suffice it to say, they had unbelievable methods of getting sound out. And here Jesus is probably speaking to 15,000 people. And Jesus tells them to send the crowd. The disciples asked Jesus to send the crowd away so they could get food because it was now evening. And Jesus said, no, we're not sending them away. This passage doesn't give you all of that. But as I said, if you compare the Gospels, you'll get a picture of what's going on. The disciple says, Jesus, please send them away. And Jesus said, no, wait, let's not send them away. You feed them. And so here we're picking up in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse number 7. Jesus says, feed them. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may have a little. This is, just in case, this is 8 months' labor. He's saying, even if we had 8 months' salary, if we had all that in cash right now, it wouldn't even be enough so that everybody gets a taste. And then Andrew said, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Andrew had canvassed the crowd and discovered who I believe was a very special lad. Just imagine, of the 15,000 people who were there, only this lad brought food. You know, as I'm preparing, I'm wondering why. And I had to wonder, was it that this lad was so anxious to hear everything Jesus had to say, he did not want to have to leave to get food? I don't know. But I believe this lad was there because he was pursuing God. I read all the Gospels and I notice nobody mentions parents. And I suspect that if there were parents there, Andrew would have said, there is a family with some food. But Andrew doesn't say there's a family with food. He said there is a lad with some food. I believe this little lad was pursuing God. Do you know not every Christian pursues God? You know, some people some Christians rarely read the Bible. That's one of the reasons we're so urging you. We want every member of GCA to be reading the Bible every single day. Amen? We want to pursue God. This lad, listen, I believe he was pursuing God. But I said, some of us, we rarely read the Bible. Some of us, we only pray when we're in trouble. We only come to church when it's convenient. Oh, I if you're here this morning and you're one of those who only comes every now and then, oh, I pray that you will make a commitment to God to say, God, as you help me, as long as I'm healthy, I am going to be in your house every single Sunday. That's something we ought to say amen about. There's an amen that belongs right there. Amen. Don't tell me you're pursuing God, but you only show up when you feel like. Every other Sunday, every 3 Sundays. Don't claim to be pursuing God if that's your DNA. When we pursue God, we want to hear God's word. We want to be in God's house. So I believe this poor little fellow, he was there by himself. If Jesus is the bread of life, if Jesus is the source of true satisfaction, then who else does it make sense pursuing but Jesus Christ? Come on now, help me out. If he is the source of satisfaction, why am I pursuing everything else except Jesus? And so Jesus wants us to know, even as we deal with this story, that he is the bread of life. Sadly, the adults are struggling with pursuing God, and the teens struggle with it too. They come to church, they got to be dragged. And oh, I know, I see them. And you are all bent out of shape. I'm just glad they're here, number one. Some of you are bent out of shape because they're using their phones. Can we talk? Young person, if when you come to church, you spend your time texting and getting your emails, you are missing out on the greatest opportunity you can ever have. Oh, I don't want you to miss that. You are missing out. You say, what am I missing out on? You are missing out on the opportunity to get to know God at an early age. I don't want you to miss that, because sometimes I think we feel we're doing somebody a favor when we show up. But just imagine, young person, just imagine that you can develop a relationship with the Almighty God from 13 or 14 or 15. Oh, I know some of you want to have a relationship with some ball player. Can you imagine having a relationship with the God of the ball player? I am so glad that I got to know Jesus when I was young. Don't you miss the opportunity to develop a relationship with Jesus. He is real. God is real. You can develop a relationship with Him. It's a real relationship. He actually involves Himself in your life. He cares for you more deeply than you will ever know. Pursue Him. The wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, said, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator while you are still young. And I appeal to you, I encourage you, young persons, I am so tickled you are here. But oh, I want to urge you as your pastor that you fall in love with my Jesus, that you fall in love with Him and develop a relationship with Him for yourself. So you don't have to say to me, Pastor, I couldn't come to church because my parents didn't come. Well, you see, many of you are old enough to get places on your own. You show up at the mall without your parents. In fact, you don't even want them there with you. Oh, but I can't go to church on my own. Are you getting what I'm saying? Young person, this is the most exciting thing you could ever do, to develop a relationship with the Almighty God, where you can just talk to Him and He talks back to you and you see Him working in your life.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, and remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.